Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of the announcers, they did a tremendous job last night. Play-by-play guys, Fransky, and then T-Mac gets a couple innings there in the middle innings. And there were some thrilling moments in the game with some big-time calls by these guys. Let's listen to what went on last night in Chavez Ravine and right here on WIP with a tremendous Phillies victory.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
The Phillies in an 0-2 hole headed on the road. It's only about winning one game tonight.
Scoreless bottom of the first, Mookie Betts. Second man up here against Nola.
The windup. And again, the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, a little liner into center. Coming on Marsh towards left center. Right center, and he dives, and he can't get it. It goes by him and goes to the wall. Betts off to the races. He'll round second. He's heading for third, and he's in there with a triple. It was out of the reach of Brandon Marsh, and a full-out dive. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Fastball got him. And for Nola, that's strikeout number 3 through the first couple of innings. A 1-2-3 second, and it's on to the third at Dodger Stadium. Still scoreless. And the first pitch from Ranger is swung on, hit in the air, deep left field. Kepler is back, looking up, and that is gone. 1-0 Dodgers. The first pitch thrown by Ranger Suarez. Tommy Edman hits it out.
He's from the right side. That ball's crushed. Deep to right field. Hernandez doesn't even move. It is long gone. It's off the roof of the pavilion in right field. Kyle Schwarber, his first postseason home run of the year. The Phillies tie it up at 1. Swing and a line drive back toward the middle, spinning into center field, a base hit. Harper's going around second, heading to third. Pajes' throw, it's off the glove of Muncy, and it goes into the Dodgers' dugout. Harper will score, Foam will go to third, and the Phillies have taken the lead. It's 2-1.
The pitch hit in the air to left field. It's hit pretty deep. Hernandez going back. He's under it, tagging a third is Foam. Sacrifice fly for Brandon Marsh, and the Phillies now lead it 3-1.
The pitch swung on, hit high in the air, left field. It's deep. Kepler is back at the track, at the wall. He makes the catch in front of the scoreboard. A 1-2-3 seventh inning, and what a performance for Ranger Suarez tonight.
And it swung on, hit in the air, left field, deep, going back to the new center fielder, Dean. He's looking up, and it is gone, and JT has hit one out to left center, and the Phillies with a 4-1 lead here in the top of the eighth inning as Real Muto hammers the pitch from Clayton Kershaw.
Swung on, little bloop into right center field. It's a base hit. One run will score. Castellanos coming around third. He'll score as well. It's a two-run single for Turner. And it's a three-run eighth inning for the Phillies, who now lead it 6-1.
Now Kyle Schwarber.
And he swings and hits one high in the air to right. It's pretty deep. Hernandez back at the track, at the wall. It's gone! It clears! And it's a two-run home run for Kyle Schwarber. And a two-homer night here in Game 3.
Let's go!
Here's Ohtani against Banks. And the first pitch is popped up. Shallow right. Coming on is Castellanos. He's waiting. And the ball game is over as Castellanos makes the grab. Ohtani makes the final out. And there will be one more game for the Phillies at least as they beat the Dodgers tonight in Los Angeles, an 8-2 final.
Well, really a thrilling victory by the Phillies. Major props to Rob Thompson for getting it right with who to start and how to sequence it. It worked. It flat out worked. And obviously the dudes at the top of the lineup, and that goes through Boehm, because we talk a lot about 1-2-3, but as John pointed out earlier, you know, Boehm also hadn't exactly been stellar in 4, and he was last night. 1-2-3-4. I mean, John, these guys all delivered, all of them.
Sure did. It was, and what was most encouraging to me, and I realized it, I was talking to Ben in a commercial break. I said early in the show, the powers that be, the talking heads, those who know, always talk about Bryce when he's getting going. He's hitting to the whole field. He's letting the ball go where it wants to go.
Yeah, where
he's
the pitcher
taking it where it wants to go. That's Ben Davis who's dropping those knowledge bombs on us, periodically. he's the one who I've seen bringing that point up repeatedly, and it's always a good point. I've seen it happen time and time again. Bryce is right where he needs to be, and I think this team is about ready to just ignite, and I hope I'm right.
I hope you're right, too. And that's the approach. Again, the approach that I saw last night is going to lead them to having more sustainable success offensively, because it was, you know, there was not a lot of swing and miss. They saw a lot more pitches. They used the whole field.
Got Yamamoto out of the game in the fifth.
It's huge, because that bullpen is not good.
Yeah.
It's just not good. And I love Dave Roberts, but he's making some bad decisions.
Oh, my God.
You know,
it's
unbelievable. Bad decisions.
He's a bad manager.
And he's lucky he has got the firepower that he has in that dugout, because he's making some decisions I think that could go in the Phillies' favor.
By the way, I think the TBS announcer is still lamenting, "Oh, it's so sad to see Clayton Kershaw out there." Enough, announcer. All right? Enough,
dude.
Keep
putting him back in.
I mean,
Brian
you might make the point once. All right, I don't need to hear it seven times.
Well, blame that on Robert. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
But he took one for the team.
It's a smart baseball move.
For tonight.
Why use another pitcher if you don't have to?
I understand that, but he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm a Kershaw fan. Yeah. I am.
And I thought that was I thought it was disrespectful. And I was thrilled with it.
I loved it, but I think it was absolutely the right decision.
I also thought the announcer did not do a good enough job saying, "Hey, this happens to Kershaw frequently in the playoffs. Like he didn't he captured the regular season Kershaw, who's an all-timer. Playoff Kershaw's below average.
Yeah.
I mean, just not that good. Yeah. So anyway.
And it's part of the story.
Part of the story.
Ben, so why did they change up their strategy in this game at the plate? Like, in terms of, like, being able to go, like, why don't they just do that all the time?
It's a great question.
Why don't they?
It's a great question.
Is it because the pitcher's really good and they just want to, like, get contact?
Jason, I'm coming right back at you. Why couldn't you guys be more consistent on offense?
Well, no, I'm saying usually that would be, like, execution and stuff. Like, it feels like we're kind of alluding to this, like a complete change of strategy at the plate.
Yeah, I think it goes to, you know, back to the old definition of insanity. You know,
okay,
you know,
all right, sure.
It just wasn't working, so they figured this isn't working. We have to be better. We have to use the whole field. We can't swing for the fences. It's amazing when you don't swing for fences, that's when the home runs come.
Right,
wow. It's crazy.
They also got back to what they did. Like, this is what made them good this year.
Yes.
Like, the first two games of this series weren't the team that we saw for the large portion of the season.
Look, the Phillies are an outstanding baseball team, and they showed it last night, and they can win this series and game four tonight, and they got a pitching edge with Sanchez because Ohtani doesn't go till game five.
Swing and a line drive back toward the middle, spinning into center field, a base hit. Harper's going around second, heading to third. Pajes's throw, it's off the glove of Muncy, and it goes into the Dodgers dugout. Harper will score. Boehm will go to third, and the Phillies have taken the lead. It's 2-1.
Well, that was a really big moment. And I got to tell you, when Bryce was coming around second, I was cursing him in my mind. I was like, damn it, Bryce, you're going to freaking screw it up with the reckless base running. But he did put pressure on the defense, and it forced a throw with, you know, a bang-bang and a collision-ish, and the ball scatters away. And it really set up two runs because, obviously, he got in, and then, of course, you know, Boehm got to third, and you know, Marsh brought him in a couple of pitches later. So, tremendous sequence that worked out well for the Phils. Well, fielding your phone call, we got Jason Kelce in studio here talking about Phils and Eagles. Want to hear from you on what went down last night, your anticipation for both games tonight, or all three, if you want to include the Flyers. Flyers home Flyers season opener tonight, home opener next week. 215-592-9494 to climb in on any of it. Rob Thompson's full press conference, it happened super late last night, covered a ton of ground. We'll air that for you at about 8:40 today. So, 8:40. To hear Topper talking about everything from last night. A lot of good stuff. We'll get to that in about 20 minutes. Jason, Sirianni and Fangio have a decision to make. I don't know if it's tonight or the next game, but N'Kobe Dean's going to be back soon.
Yeah.
And he may play tonight. You know, we'll know a few hours before kickoff. If he's good to go, is he full-time starter, no-time starter, or part-time player where on certain possessions or plays they slide Jahad Campbell to edge? Like, what happens?
Yeah, it's a great question that I don't fully know. They are a little bit thin right now at edge with some of the injuries they've had, so I wouldn't be surprised if they – I mean, Jahad's a versatile enough player that he can play on the line of scrimmage and in the box. But, I mean, Jahad Campbell has been fantastic.
He has.
And I don't think at this point you can sit him down for anybody, to be honest with you. I think he needs to play. I think Zach Bond is like one of the leaders of that defense. He needs to play. So it's one of those, like, you know, they have so many good players that it's hard to know, you know, where Nakobe fits in. But Vic is very versatile in his personnel packages, and they can be in, you know, five big guys, two inside backers. They can play with three inside backers, one guy in the line. They can play in nickels and dimes. And so I'd imagine they'll find a place to utilize Nakobe's skill set, especially depending on what other offenses are throwing at him.
Yeah. What did you think of Aziz Ojulari? I thought I had to look up who he was when I saw 13 in there. I didn't remember
who
was 13.
I didn't either.
Because he hadn't played, you know, beginning of the year. He looked good.
No, he's a solid player in this league. I mean, he has been, and I've played against him a number of times. He's a good player. He's versatile. And, you know, with Fangio's scheme, and this is where Nakobe could fit in, and why Jahad Campbell is such an asset, and guys like Ojulari and Uche, and like these like quasi linebacker big guys, you can be so versatile where they go, and they can.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Can put their hand on the ground. They can be anything from a nine technique to a five to a four eye in some fronts, depending on the down and distance. And, you know, you can mug guys up and get to it. It makes you so much more dynamic and shifting in similar ways to, you know, what Bill Belichick and a lot of these other 3-4 teams utilize.
Bill used to do that all the time. It's annoying. And he would make his linebackers 95s.
Yep.
The defensive ends in the 50s, you know, like mess with the numbers. Yeah,
and now you can mess with them even more.
Size.
I mean, the numbers are all
you're
crazy.
Not. Dude, I hate that, by the way.
I'm not a fan of it either. But, yeah. I think.
And then the interchangeability. Yeah. Little things like whether your hand's down or whether you're in a 3-point or a 2-point, sometimes that really does change
things. It messes
things with
your head, especially.
It changes your decision making and everyone's communication
Up
front.
Yeah, then, you know, the guard looks back, and what was 2-3 techniques and two inside backers, while the guard looks back, all of a sudden the 3 technique, because he's standing up and we're calling him down for this week, right? He's a big guy. We're not going to let the back block him.
Rules
all of a sudden
week.
They switch mid snap. While the guards look bad, then he looks back, and then you got a big guy running down on Saquon, and you can mess with rules and schemes and, you know, what fronts are, especially if you're not dialed in offensively.
Yeah.
Sure.
So Eagles and Giants tonight, Flyers season opener this evening, and most important of all, and that's a rare thing to say on an Eagles game day, but most important of all, the Phillies tonight. So we got 3 different Twitter poll questions, all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin's got the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. First question, who wins tonight, Phillies or Dodgers? Second poll question, will the Flyers make the playoffs as they embark on a new season beginning tonight? Playoffs, yes. I do too, Jason. I think no. I hope yes.
Yeah, I mean, they're young. They're still getting there. But, I mean, I just – the Flyers, it's so much fun when the Flyers are really good.
It is.
It's a great organization. It's a great fan base when everything is going well. I love going to the game. So, yeah, I'm definitely hoping for
big time
some good hockey here.
And the third poll question, you know, we hope
Bader –
Do you
still feel like checking people? When you're like walking around, do you ever get that?
We talked about it this week, but I went to Jacksonville this week, and we were watching the games at like a random sports bar, and the sports bar just so happened to be, we didn't know it going to it, in the middle of an ice rink, which I'd never seen.
Wow.
And there's beer league games going on all Sunday. So I legitimately went to the pro shop. I rented skates, bought some stuff, and just hopped out on the ice. It was miserable. the skates were dull. Like, I was not skating well at all. But I love ice skating. I love being back out. I just love being in a rink. Like,
did you
the
check
smell
anybody?
Of a rink.
The
one thing I didn't buy
like
is shoulder pads because I didn't even want to put myself in. I'm like, dude, I'm not hitting anybody. I don't want to get hit. I almost went face first into the boards.
Did they know who you were?
That'd be bad.
They did. That's they the did? Only reason I think they let me out with them.
Okay.
That's great.
All right.
Jason, I want the Flyers to sign you for the Tim Kerr, John LeClair role. Stand in front of the net and no one can move you. And you know, Ben, you grew up with
it
that
works.
Stuff. They would just stand in front of the net. Yeah, nobody could move them. Screen the goalie and tip it in.
That's that was all there was to it.
It's unbelievable.
Not rocket science. Yeah.
All right. The third poll question. Rob Thompson's got a big decision to make tonight. So, I mean, let me put it this way. If Bader's healthy, he starts, but he's probably not going to start because he's probably not healthy. So if he doesn't start, who gets to start tonight along with Marsh and Kepler in the outfield? Your choices are Castellanos, Kemp, Sosa, and Wilson. I would go with Castellanos, but I say that holding my nose, like literally holding my nose, because I don't feel good about it. But that's a decision they got to make. Now, James has some info in there for us because I asked him to look it up. If you're down 2-1 in a series in a best of five, what does history show? Baseball's had a lot of best of fives through many decades, not just in this most recent playoff format, but years gone by used to be best of fives. James, what are we looking at when your club's down 2-1?
Yeah, better than when they were down 0-2. I'll tell you much. The odds have gotten better, guys.
Yeah,
And I actually have the difference. It actually, unsurprisingly, teams that are down 1-2 and win game 4 on the road have a higher percentage of winning game 5 because they're coming home. So we're just going to look at that specific scenario because that's what the Phillies are in. So teams that are down 1-2 on the road that win game 4, So they win game 4 33% of the time.
Okay, so this team wins.
So one out of three. So not as bad as you would think.
And that's about what I'd think. You have about a 50-50 shot in baseball, but a lesser shot because you're on the road.
Yep.
And the other team theoretically might have been proven to be better.
Teams, it's 33% for the road. It's 23.5% if it's the home team that wins game 4 and then has to go on the road for game 5. Yeah. Overall, 52. The game 5, though, is a coin flip still. 52% of the time, the team that came back from 1-2 down goes on to win the series.
Can I ask you,
after winning the second, yes.
How many times has a team won both the first games away, then the other team won both of the other games?
I don't have that in. It's a great question.
Like that's
very
rare. Super rare.
Well, we know that in 90 times that there was an 0-2 hole for any team in MLB history in the playoffs, that only 10 of those teams won. And we don't know the split on road versus home, but Jason, I would guess, you know.
It might be the first time.
In baseball, maybe. Listen, the Sixers lost the series that way in 84. Sixers won the title in 83. Had Doc, Moses, the whole crew. And Ben, you were super young. Ree, you'll remember this also as a kid.
Was that the one where they...
To the Nets.
To the Nets. I was thinking the one to Portland.
That was 77. That was the Sixers 1-2 and then lost 4 straight.
Yeah.
But bottom line is, if you lose 2 at home, and then to your point, Jason, then win 2 on the road... That is a rare one. Right. I don't know how often, but I know this. Not much.
Right, right.
Does not happen much. John, who do you want tonight to get that start in the outfield if it's not Bader? Casty, Kemp, Sosa, or Wilson?
I don't want it to be Casty. So, I mean...
He stunk last night.
If it's... I guess it's Weston Wilson, but because I want Sosa to be available... I don't know, in a different capacity. I'd like to see Sosa tonight also. Let's get everyone in there we can. But Weston Wilson.
I wonder if they move Stott up to just put whoever this guy is 9.
Real quick, I found the answer to Jason's question. Three out of 10. Three out of the 10 series that were won were teams that went. Yeah, so 30% of them were 0-2 at home and went on to win the series.
Wow.
So but for what it's worth, that's 3 out of 90 times.
Right? Yeah.
Or, you know, in
holy
general.
Mackerel. All right, a couple minutes with Jason here. We're going to get to the Rob Thompson press conference from very late last night. We'll get to that in about 10 minutes. Let's go to Ron in Pottstown right now. Good morning, Ron.
Hey, good morning, boy. Good morning, boys and ladies. I'm so excited about the Phillies. I listened Tuesday night from Jan Janssen all the way through as I put it around the house, and boy, I felt so bad for Aaron Nola and Topper. Boy, they just got hammered. And I was so glad it worked out. Jason, I was an undersized college center, lacking all abilities. So I've spent my time on special teams, and I'm battling CTE right now. I drive my adult daughter crazy. I'm on 16 pills a day. And is Ben still there?
Yes.
If he is... I was a high school and Legion catcher. I tell Dorian, if I could hump it up at 103, I throw one over against the screen once in a while because he's always around the plate.
Yeah.
And I think he needs sometimes to, you know, well, maybe make those hitters feel.
But Ben said that exact thing on our show recently.
I did. I know this. It sounds funny, but I think he needs to throw more balls. Like he's always around the plate.
Well, and there's two things I think, Ben, I've heard you say about him on the negative side that hopefully he can improve. That, throw more balls, especially when you're like, you know, like, got the guy down.
Yeah, bury a pitch or two.
And the other thing is to vary up his off-speed pitch more. One thing that was so good about Ranger last night, I mean, maybe it was the best part of Ranger. His variance between his fastball and his, I'll call it, not fastball. Yeah. I mean, it's unbelievable.
He can add and subtract with the best of them. I mean, he was throwing a 72-mile-an-hour curveball and a 92-mile-an-hour fastball. You know, from a hitter, and he can throw it in any count. That's what's so frustrating. From an offensive standpoint, you can never sit on one particular pitch or one particular speed. And I think that's why hitting Duran's a little bit, not easy hitting 102, but everything he throws is hard, except for that curveball, that knuckle curve. That's why I think he needs to throw that more.
I think he also, and I hate to say this on the negative side for us as Phillies fans, but it's worth pointing out, I think he made himself some dough last night. It's going to make it even harder to sign him. I mean, if I'm a team, think of it this way. If I'm a team that makes the playoffs year over year, teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers, whomever. Now, the Dodgers have tons of pitching. But, like, why wouldn't you want that guy on your team if you're likely to make the playoffs? He's got the third lowest ERA in the history of postseason baseball.
Yeah.
He's just a freaking stud.
He's a stud, but he's just staying on the field every fifth day.
I know.
Not easy for him.
Yeah, it certainly has been
an
issue.
That's the only knock on him.
Back is not something that instantly gets better.
That's scary.
It's wonky, and then it stays wonky.
Let's listen to Bryce Harper. So after the game last night, Bryce, I thought this was good perspective on kind of where things are and just the overall vibe of what's going on. Here's Bryce last night.
You talked about one pitch at a time everybody has coming into today. Is that easier now tomorrow that you have this behind you?
No. I mean, it's still a really good team over there. I think obviously, you know, we got to, you know, work out. You know, we just got to come in here and do our job and understand we're a really good team as well and just try to go 1-0 again tomorrow. You know, I think I said it the other day, 1-3, you know, not worrying about anything else and got to come into tomorrow and, you know, win that game and, you know, get back to Philly.
Jason, the reason I really appreciate that perspective is that's the athlete saying, let's not take anything for granted. Like, we won a game, but it doesn't mean we win the next one. Like, we got to stay locked in.
Yeah. You're not letting the moment get you out of what you should be focused on, which is the fact that we got to go right back and do it again quite literally the next day. So, yeah, I think that's the exact mindset you want to hear.
James, give us let me go to Ben here on this. Ben, give me a Tyler Glasnow. So he's going to be the starting pitcher tonight. It's funny. I thought earlier in the show it was Ohtani, so shame on me for having that wrong. So Glasnow, who we saw in game one, and is a good pitcher, but not on the level of the other three guys that have gone in this series for L.A. What is he?
I think if adversity makes him soft, and I think that can very go well in the Phillies' favor. He's got a great arm, but he's another guy that has a tough time staying on the field. But he's close to triple digits, if not triple digits, at the top of the zone with his fastball and loves to bury his breaking ball. So if they can get his fastball down and his breaking ball up, obviously easier said than done, they can get to him. Sounds and like they can get him out.
We got to get a bun in there.
Yeah.
Get some adversity.
There you go.
That's right.
I see what you did.
Adversity makes him soft.
This guy, Doc had to go get him in the first game. Dave Roberts had to go get him in the first game. He brought him in, and he was supposed to be, and then next, you know, he's got a couple guys on.
There was a game
earlier in the year where it was kind of raining and spikes went right. He was stomping around the mound like a little child.
That was the guy. They gave up five runs they put up on him in April.
Correct.
I forgot about
right.
that.
I love this.
What's the best way to get into a pitcher's head?
I think if they put up two runs in that first inning,
that's the best way.
I'm telling you.
Bomb.
I'm telling you, you can get to this guy. I don't know how. I think he can be gotten to. Let's put it that way.
That's good. Exciting.
No doubt.
Let me ask this question. I'm trying to sort of move a little bit toward game four. So we're certainly fielding your calls on game three, obviously. But let's just play out a horrible scenario. If Sanchez were to struggle hard and get hit often and be out of there after two or three, other than cleaning up a dirty inning where you got to get out of the inning, guys on base, who's that next guy? My guess is Walker Buehler.
I think it has to be.
Yeah, I don't know who else it would be.
Right? It's him.
If you need bulk.
Because you've used Taiwan a little bit last night. If you need bulk, if you need three innings, if you need to get me 3-5, it's Walker Buehler time.
I would think so.
Could Nola, as a guy who has started all year, cranked it up for two innings last night. Could he pitch tonight, Ben?
No. No, okay. The starters aren't accustomed to doing that.
But you feel Nola, do you feel Nola could go in game five, or, and I'm not saying as a starter, could Nola give you an inning or two in game five? We know Ranger
100%.
Could. 100%. So game five, you could have both Ranger and Nola out of the.
Yes. But then it's the bullpen available. Thing. It's, like, do you pitch Nola out of the bullpen?
Game
he didn't want to do it.
With an off day on Friday, it's all hands on deck.
Yep. And I mean effectively, though. Like,
No, he could.
Okay, good.
He could.
Let's get to Gino, Northeast Philly. Good morning, Gino.
Good morning, guys. How you doing this morning? Good morning,
great,
Jason.
Doing good.
Fired up, bud.
It's always good to talk to Jason. You know, it's so cool to call here because, like, you know, Jason, you're probably one of my favorite players of all time, and I get to call on Mondays to talk to Seth, and Seth's my dad's favorite player of all time, so it's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
But as far as the Phillies go, you know, I feel like Michael Corleone. It's like, you know, just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in, you know. And,
it's a good one, man.
You know, honestly, I said to Jimmy when I called, I said, you know, honestly, and I hate to say this, but I fully expected to turn that game on last night. And after about three, four innings, the Phillies would, Nola would get bombed and they'd be down 5-0, and I'd turn the game off and go to bed. You know, and I hate to say that, but that's what I expected.
And by the way,
happen,
Gino,
you know?
It felt like it was about to happen.
Yeah, it felt like they were wasting opportunities early in the game. There was a lot of opportunities to get runs in early.
Yeah. Well, I mean first inning. Like there was a Phillies reliever up in the first inning. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh,
Banks,
my God.
Yeah.
Right.
But he got out of it. He found a way.
I saw Banks up in the first inning. I'm like, this is not a good start right here.
You know? But you know what?
I was proud of the team last night. They really battled. And you know, they didn't just go out with a whimper. So, you know, they showed me a little something. And one thing I will say, you know, the Dodgers are obviously a great team. And obviously, you know, anything can happen in a game five. But there's no way in hell you can tell me the Dodgers want to get on a plane and go back to Philly for a game five.
I agree.
The
winds
no
will be at their back
sure. Even with Ohtani on the mound.
There's also the effect that it would cost Ohtani not being able to pitch early in the next series. So,
exactly.
You're damn right they're going to want to win tonight. But Gino, I will say this. In their credit, I also don't think, though, that they would be fearful of playing in that game. Like, they don't want but they're more wired to do that than a lot of teams, man. They've won a lot of big games, and they've won a lot of them over the road in the last decade in the playoffs.
I just wanted to ask one other question. I wanted to ask Ben this, actually.
Sure.
You know, obviously, what Castellanos said, he shouldn't have said that about the fans and all.
No.
But you think there is a little something to that getting on the road helped the team? Like, you know, maybe they're just pressing way too much at home?
Good question, Gino.
That's a good question. I would say that it does maybe help them relax a little bit. I think maybe playing in front of this crowd, these are the best fans in baseball. But I think maybe they're trying to impress them and maybe a little bit too much. And a tight swing is not what you need in the playoffs. Trying to impress the home crowd and keep them into it. You know, and I think, again, the pitchers that they went up against, Ohtani and Snell, they can induce that kind of feeling. It's like, we have to. The last thing you can do in football baseball is I have to or I need to.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
sure.
You can't go up there and say, I have to get a hit or I need to get a hit.
Yeah,
that's
sure
the worst mentality to have.
Yep. No.
You know, and I can understand them wanting to impress this home crowd because they have been so supportive over the years, especially this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that. And maybe to getting out on the West Coast will get their minds right. You know, they definitely looked right last night.
Yeah. I used to worry all the time that it was for Donovan's sake.
I agree with you.
That it was much more difficult to, I don't know, bounce back from mistakes if we were at home. I felt like from the get-go, from the very first game we played at the new Lincoln Financial Field. You got the fireworks. The smoke is still in the air from the fireworks for the grand opening. And Don's getting booed. You suck! Because we went like four and out.
Yeah.
I was positive there were times it was easier to get back on track when you didn't have the prying and, you know, angry eyes on the quarterback. That was the impression that I got. I felt like it must have been easier for him.
Makes sense.
Yeah,
it does. So, Jason, let's get you out on this one.
Yeah.
The Eagles tonight. We all think they're going to win.
It will.
Do you think they're going to win convincingly?
I do. I don't think that their offense is going to do much of anything, to be honest with
the
you.
The Giants.
Yes.
Good.
Even though Jackson Dart looked better than I expected.
I love the kid's competitiveness.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago was really...
Oh, 2 weeks.
Yeah, against...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of
Browns. You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Chargers, which was a big win for them. I think he has a ton of competitive juices to him. I like that aspect of it. Him and Sabato or however you pronounce the running back.
Scataboo.
Scataboo. Yeah. They have a ton of just like energy right now. Andy Reid used to call it youthful enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something you need on a football team. It really does. And it lit a spark under them a couple weeks ago. I don't think he's there right now, and I think with Slayton being out and Neighbors being out, it's gonna be very difficult against Vic without any real playmakers out on the perimeter to be one dimensional. I would be beyond shocked if they have an offensive performance that's impressive.
Good. Enjoy it all tonight, man. When I say all, I mean all these games. And thanks for being here, man. And
thanks for having me.
I mean, what a day in Philly sports, man.
Oh, yeah. This could be a very joyous night tonight, and hopefully it is for all of Philadelphia.
I love it. All right, there he is, the future Hall of Famer, Jason Kelce, as he's with us every single Thursday. All right, Rob Thompson's press conference we're going to get to coming up shortly this segment. But before that, we want to play the montage of how it sounded last night with Scott Fransky and Tom McCarthy, play-by-play duty here on WIP. So first, the calls of the game, then Rob Thompson after the game. And by the way, it did not start good last night, but it certainly ended great. Let's listen.
We're going to need a montage. Ooh, it takes a montage.
The Phillies in an 0-2 hole, headed on the road. It's only about winning one game tonight.
Scoreless, bottom of the first, Mookie Betts. Second man up here against Nola.
The windup. And again, the 2-2 pitch. Swung on, a little liner into center. Coming on Marsh towards left center. Right center, and he dives, and he can't get it. It goes by him and goes to the wall. Betts off to the races. He'll round second. He's heading for third, and he's in there with a triple. It was out of the reach of Brandon Marsh, and a full-out dive. Here's the 1-2 pitch. Swing and a miss. Struck him out. Fastball got him. And for Nola, that's strikeout number 3 through the first couple of innings. A 1-2-3 second, and it's on to the third at Dodger Stadium. Still scoreless. And the first pitch from Ranger is swung on, hit in the air, deep left field. Kepler is back, looking up, and that is gone. 1-0 Dodgers. The first pitch thrown by Ranger Suarez. Tommy Edman hits it out.
He's from the right side. That ball's crushed. Deep to right field. Hernandez doesn't even move. It is long gone. It's off the roof of the pavilion in right field. Kyle Schwarber, his first postseason home run of the year. The Phillies tie it up at 1. Swing and a line drive back toward the middle. Spinning into center field, a base hit. Harper's going around second, heading to third. Paez's throw, it's off the glove of Muncy. And it goes into the Dodgers dugout. Harper will score. Boehm will go to third. And the Phillies have taken the lead. It's 2-1.
The pitch hit in the air to left field. It's hit pretty deep. Hernandez going back. He's under it. Tagging a third is Boehm. Sacrifice fly for Brandon Marsh. And the Phillies now lead it 3-1.
The pitch swung on. Hit high in the air. Left field. It's deep. Kepler is back. At the track. At the wall. He makes the catch in front of the scoreboard. A 1-2-3 seventh inning. And what a performance for Ranger Suarez tonight. And it's swung on, hit in the air, left field, deep, going back to new center fielder Dean. He's looking up, and it is gone, and JT has hit one out to left center, and the Phillies with a 4-1 lead here in the top of the eighth inning as Real Muto hammers the pitch from Clayton Kershaw. Swung on, little bloop into right center field. It's a base hit. One run will score. Castellanos coming around third. He'll score as well. It's a two-run single for Turner. And it's a three-run eighth inning for the Phillies, who now lead it 6-1. Now Kyle Schwarber
And he swings and hits one high in the air to right. It's pretty deep. Hernandez back at the track, at the wall. It's gone! It clears! And it's a two-run home run for Kyle Schwarber. And a two-homer night here in Game 3.
Let's go.
Here's Ohtani against Banks. And the first pitch is popped up. Shallow right. Coming on is Castellanos. He's waiting. And the ball game is over as Castellanos makes the grab. Ohtani makes the final out. And there will be one more game for the Phillies at least as they beat the Dodgers tonight in Los Angeles, an 8-2 final.
Well, just an awesome job by the Phillies last night. And Rod Thompson really deserves major credit because he got something right that a lot of us, myself included, had major doubt on. And that was the using Aaron Nola thing. It flat out worked. Nola gives them two. It was really a don't have to use the setup guys, if you will, for two innings. Use Nola for two innings. And I doubted it, and it worked. So credit to Topper. Let's listen to Rob Thompson. He was asked about that and many other elements of the game last night and some look ahead to Game 4. We don't often play a full press conference from the prior night, but this one was so late and obviously so important when you consider they're in the playoffs in a do-or-die situation. We're going to give you the whole press conference, about 6 minutes here. Listen to Rob Thompson covering a lot of ground last night.
Hi, Rob. Going into eighth, was it your plan to get six outs from Duran? And if so, how big was that offensive outburst in saving him potentially for tomorrow?
Yeah, that's what we were going to do, especially starting at bats, I believe. We started in the eighth. Once we had it on, went to Kirk, and Kirk threw the ball great. So, yeah, it saved Duran for tomorrow.
First row, middle.
Rob, what was the plan with Nola and Suarez coming in, and how close did they come to executing it exactly what you wanted?
Yeah, they pretty much did exactly what we wanted. We wanted to use those guys to get as close to Duran as we could to save some of the bullpen for tomorrow if we won. Nola was really good. The plan was to go one time through the lineup, and Ranger get is on Ohtani. Ended at with Edmonds leading off the third, so he's 1-for-20 with 9 strikeouts against Ranger. So and he hit the first pitch out of the ballpark. So, they executed perfectly.
Very good, Marcus Sekiro.
How satisfying is it for you as a manager to come into a game that you have to win, literally a must win, and have an unorthodox plan work out pretty much perfectly?
Yeah, it really is. And I give credit to the players for sure. You know, our offense was really good. We swung the bats. We had good at-bats up and down the lineup. The first four guys in the lineup were, 9-for-16? They kept grinding. They kept adding on. We had chances in other innings than the innings that we scored. So they just put pressure on them all night long. And, yeah, Nola, Suarez, Kirkering, even Taiwan threw the ball well. He didn't really give up much exit velo, but they got some hits off him. And then, you know, Banks throws one pitch. So, I thought we really played well all around.
Okay, right here in the first row.
Rob, you guys seem to be pretty aggressive with Yamamoto early. Can you talk about that kind of get the guys into the flow at the plate, being able to attack fastballs right away?
Yeah, I think we had good at-bats against them for sure, and we got them into some counts where we expected some fastballs. And I think the Schwarber home run just sort of woke everybody up and got a lot of energy going in the dugout.
Okay, Marcus, second row.
Part of your job as a manager is to get guys sort of able to flush what happened earlier. And you guys had you lost four in a row, I think, in the postseason.
Yeah.
And you came out here and they seemed to be, I don't know, focused, refreshed. I don't know. I mean, do you take a degree of satisfaction in that as well?
Well, they're an experienced group of guys, so they've been through this a little bit. And the one thing they did, I think, is they stayed in the moment, stayed relaxed. If you stay in the moment, trust the process, trust your teammates, and not really focus on the result, you have a better chance of getting to the result. And they did that, so I'm happy with them.
Did you re-impress that upon them over the last couple of days?
Well, you know, I think they do it inside the clubhouse very well. You know, the veteran guys, they spread the word and one game at a time, and that's kind of our motto today.
Okay, Paul.
Rob, I know you announced it after game two, but when did the NOLA Ranger plan kind of first start to come together, and what, how long ago?
Well, it didn't happen until after game two, because we wanted to figure out where we were at, you know, after that game, and then we sat down and talked about it and tried to figure out, okay, how do we navigate this lineup with using both those guys, and that's sort of what we came up with.
And then the fourth inning there, you guys don't have a hit yet. They just took the lead. How big is that Schwarber home run, and can one swing in a short series like that kind of turn everything around?
Yeah, it could, and we'll see about the rest of the series. But, you know, certainly we had – I thought we had hit some balls hard prior to that too. You know, some balls deep, almost to the wall, to the warning track. So we're on Yamamoto decent, but I did think we had good at-bats, and, you know, yeah, the lineup woke up.
And just one more, Duran, I know you mentioned earlier, Dave Roberts was just in here and said, I would have loved to get him in the game. If he pitched two tonight, what would he have been available for tomorrow?
Well, one, if any.
Okay, I'm going to go back to Marcus quick.
excuse me. There's been a lot of – you've taken a lot of criticism the last three seasons, including this one.
I have?
Yes. For some of the decisions you've made, and they haven't worked out. So the way the guys played as well. Have you felt that pressure – going into, especially tonight, which was an elimination game, and has it affected you at all?
I don't think so. You know, I think that's part of this job, is that you make decisions, you plan it out. It's not like we're throwing stuff up in the air, but you plan it out. If it doesn't work, then yeah, there's criticism there. That's just part of the gig. It really is.
And finally, the uniforms, are you going to stay in the powder blues forever?
Well, not necessarily, because it's Major League Baseball's decision, depending on the home team's home uniform. Well, based on tonight, I would. But if their home colors are match up with our powder blues, then they won't let us use them.
Who's that here on the right?
The pitch clock violation, what kind of went into that? There was an argument about it, and at the time, that was a pretty big at-bat.
Yeah, huge at-bat. And I think in that situation, I think you got to have a little bit of leniency, because, you know, Bohm's at first base, he gets an intentional walk, the clock starts right away. Now he's trying to get his glove on, his sliding mat, and so Marsh is watching him, assuming, you shouldn't assume, but assuming that they're not starting anything until he's ready. But, you know, the time ran out. But I think that there should be a little bit of feel there.
And then the second run you score, it's after Harper goes first to third, the throw gets away. Do you like him rolling the dice there, and what can kind of being aggressive do in a game like this?
Yeah, I think, you know, you have to be aggressive. Sometimes you got to force the issue a little bit, and you know, he did, and caused an error and got us a couple more runs.
Okay, last one, Marcus.
Probably the biggest story of the postseason, despite the Dodgers winning, is that Shohei's, I think, 1-for-14 with 7 strikeouts against you guys. Has the plan sort of worked, or is it a combination of maybe he's not where you expect him to be at this point?
Yeah, I really don't want to comment on that, because, I mean, he can explode at any time. He's that great of a hitter. But, you know, we have pitched him well.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, that's Rob Thompson. Last night, he deserves major credit for getting it right last night. He really did. Hey, reminder about tonight's game four, because it coincides with the Eagles game. What is it, John? 6. They're 4-1.
Yes,
game
6.
4-1. Mm-hmm. All right, so the Eagles game, 8:15 tonight, right here on WIP. 8:15, Eagles game, WIP. Obviously, two games can't be on the same station at the same time. So, Phillies, where do they go? Here's where they go. Phillies go to two different radio stations, two different Odyssey-owned stations. That's our parent company. They go on KYW 103.9 FM. 103.9 FM to hear Fransky, Stocker, and Tom McCarthy call the game. And also Back to the Roots, where the Phillies won the 2008 World Series and played for decades across the Delaware Valley. And that's 1210 AM. So 1210 AM and KYW 103.9 FM. Two spots to listen to the Phils tonight. All right, so back
we got
with
6:08, right? 6:08.
I'm sorry, yes, 6:08. I should have said that.
And then the Eagles at 8:15. So yes, we just need a really quick, painless
Sanchez
win by Sanchez.
Sanchez! Deal.
You might get it with these shadows.
I don't want it too quick a game. I went that freaking Dodgers pitcher to feel some pain tonight, all right? I went that guy to give up a 17 spot.
Ooh. All right.
I don't know. No, not 17, 12, because 17 Phillies might hit too much and not have anything left in the tank for game five.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.